in the recommendations. I think we should refrain from acting as if we can issue instructions to Legal Aid South Africa. They are operating in terms of an act which we passed, and their core functions and mandate is prescribed also in their manual and the regulations and the act. So while I have sympathy for the fact that we should encourage them to partner with, for example, Chapter 9 institutions as is suggested in 22.3, on the other hand, 22.4 is wholly problematic. First of all, I think if we want to be gender sensitive, it's not only women that sometimes fall foul of non-paying ex-spouses or non-paying parents. Second of all, the word offend is problematic because these women are not accused or charged with anything. And thirdly, I think the issue is that, and we've dealt with this when we dealt with the Maintenance Amendment Bill, within the department there's already maintenance officers who assist these parents, and given the fact that even though there is a prosecutor in those courts, the whole process is rather quasi-judicial than one of necessarily an adversarial approach. I think just the burden also we would put on Legal Aid South Africa if we expand their duties in this regard is not, I think, well thought through. There may be, as this committee likes to call it, unintended consequences. So unless we can reframe it in a way to say that Legal Aid South Africa should investigate and so on, whether they can assist, And as I say, also put it in gender-neutral terms, I don't think we can support it. But otherwise, and then thirdly, I think even though 22.6 talks to, I think, the approach of the committee or the feeling of the committee in respect of the public protector. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I, you know, there's a huge amount of, of males out there who are single parents and who have the same difficulties that women face. And it's not only the issue of maintenance that's not paid by men. It's not only men who pay maintenance. And I have a serious issue with the wording of the suggestion, in that it's only aimed at protecting females. There are many men who meet all their obligations as a divorced spouse, and they pay their maintenance and they do everything that they're meant to do, and still they don't have access to their children. And those people also need to be protected, and there's not one or two of them, there are many of them. And frankly, I think that we should be concerned about all kinds of abuses in the maintenance structure, as it affects women and as it affects men, and more importantly, as it affects children as they get used as pawns between their parents. And to concentrate simply on women not receiving maintenance and then complaining that men have money to hire lawyers and women don't, well, that's like putting a plaster on a pimple. It's really not going to solve the problem. We need to delve deeper into it and deal with the issue constructively. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me comment on 22.4. I propose that we do it as follows. Based on the understanding that maybe in circumstances where a Commission on Gender Equality was involved in some investigation, and the outcomes of, like in a deceased estate matter, the outcomes are being challenged. Then I propose that we rephrase it in this way. The committee would also like to see Legal Aid South Africa assisting the CGE when the outcomes of the investigations are challenged in a court of law. That's my proposal.
I support the proposal, Chair, based on the fact that the idea is to actually to ensure that what the transformation agenda of women also is not actually left behind, and taking into consideration the fact that the Commission on Gender Equality has got a very low budget as compared to other Chapter 9 institutions, only 62 million, and if their own investigation outcomes have got to be taken to court, it creates a state of crisis. And this is why we are therefore focusing on how to actually empower the that Chapter 9 institution. Thank you, Chairperson.
Let me try and see if we don't have a middle way. You know, we have been complaining that the way the Constitution is drafted, it really empowers the criminals, where people are criminally accused persons get preference to civil matters. Can't we draft this to urge South African Legal Aid, to pay equal attention to civil matters and say, e.g., maintenance cases? And then we also agreed that we'll have a meeting with the Legal Aid South Africa and work out the details, so that we leave the details to that meeting, Legal Aid, and not try to incorporate it here.
Thank you, Chairperson. I thought we were actually doing them one by one. I do hear the sentiment around maintenance, but at the same time, wants to agree that whatever we're going to be putting down as part of the recommendations should not indeed sound like it's an instruction. We can actually say Legal Aid South Africa to partner and remove the should. I don't think it will be a problem. Or it's edged to, yes. Or to consider. Yes, something like that. Yes. So we take it that the other one we have actually covered, then we come to maintain it.
No, thanks, Chair. I think what's the problem?
When I talk to you, you know what you're doing and I'll do what I'm doing and what I just believe, really got nothing to do. And I'll look on the side of you interfering all the time.
You know, tolerance is very important. Tolerate each other and then we will make
progress.
Hey, this thing. You're making me suspicious of something. Thanks, Chair. I think I don't know whether we want to discuss them one by one, because we're likely to.
No, I wanted us to finalize the.
Because I see 22.5 has something to do with the issues that almost that we are raising around civil work.
Covered.
So, Yeah, so what I want to say that maybe to support Honorable Mthabo. To support Honorable Mthabo, to say, because the matter, I don't agree with Honorable Breitenberg. And I'm just saying in terms of the submission that you'll want to equate and say men also and so on, because the transformation agenda that we're busy with, it seeks to affirm women in particular on a very serious note, on the basis of the triple oppression that we're told about. So it will not always be equal and say you want to put equal treatment.
That is common knowledge.
Expand on your support. So I support that we take the formulation as Honorable Mthabo.
The formulation would also like to see, as you may have said, to see legal aid to South Africa assisting the CD Commission on Gender Equality when the outcome of the investigation are challenged in a court of law.
Yeah, couldn't say to help legal aid to South Africa to consider.
Honorable Swart, we have indicated that in terms of the transformation agenda, we have to keep on really putting a lens also on empowerment of women. And for now, we hear sentiments that even maintenance sometimes is actually demanded from women by men. So it's not that like it's always men who will be the ones who are contributors to maintenance. But this issue of maintenance mostly affects women, and we know it. Half the children of South Africa, more than half, actually raised by single women.
No, that's
so basically, we will say the Commission on Gender Equality, because also, unless you want to frustrate this submission, because once you actually also broaden it up, then the other issue that will come into play is affordability. If it's all of them, will legal aid South Africa afford it? But at the same time, we want to come up with an arrangement that will ensure that when the Commission on Gender Equality, as a Chapter 9 institution that has been put in place to bring about gender transformation in South Africa, when it does investigations, like it's the case with the South African Human Rights Commission, like it's the case with the Public Protector, and they come with conclusions, and those conclusions are then taken to court, it creates a state of crisis, because also if you look at their own budget as compared to the budget of the other two Chapter 9 institutions, it's a Mickey Mouse budget of 62 million.
I hope I'm not diverting everybody, but I thought that when we had all our briefings and the discussion, the point that was raised was, for example, the Public Protector South Africa raised the fact that the cost of going to court and defending litigation is actually, and then what the committee said at the time was that these Chapter 9 institutions should make use of the resources of Legal Aid South Africa. They should look into ways of partnering with them. So, so we could perhaps. No, you want the transformation thing.
The issue here is, women are suffering triple oppression as women, but they have an additional burden of the children that they look up. So when you talk about women, we are talking about women and children being a special category that is suffering from the legacy of the past. Now, if you extend this to Human Rights Commission, for instance, they go and defend things at Marikana, which are already defended. And then you go to a public protector. They go and take up cases which are already dealt with by others. So when you generalize, you are actually saying resources must go to all these things that some of which are not even necessary. But I thought here we are singling out women because of the vulnerability of that category of people. Or maybe we should say EG, I don't know, but we have to single out women affairs because they are in trouble. Honorable Swart.
Yes.
I'm leaving, Mr. Chair, because I have to go to the caucus. I'm leaving Mr. Horn here to defend our position. Thank you.
Chair, you are well excused.
Chair, I think if I take us back to when we had the discussion with the Legal Aid Board,
mm-hmm.
they said they assist high-impact litigation on certain cases, that little booklet. And I still rose the concern I had about the one case where they sued the pastor for R1 million. So that's how the issue came about them. So they don't fund Chapter 9 institutions. They don't have the budget, otherwise they'll come to us. What they do is they assist in one high-impact case. But as the wording is, the recommended wording that you've got here, where you use the word such as, use those two words. You're saying, for example, this. You're saying the wording here is Legal Aid should partner with all of them, including. So you're not saying, as it is presently worded, only the Commission. And so that's why if you exclude the word such as the Commission, then they can decide. And you're adding within, and I would suggest you could say, consider partnering Chapter 9 institutions within available resources. The next paragraph you could say as well, Legal Aid South Africa should consider extending its services to maintenance matters within reasonable resources.
Why don't we say for now for them to consider partnering with the Gender Commission? And because that's where the greatest need is.
Well, Chair, I don't know about that. I have got no information about that. There's no submissions before that. And in fact, We and I know the whip of the ANC was a commissioner, and but I need evidence about that. I do not, there's nothing writing before him.
Let's not personalize the matter because it will even cloud issues. We don't want such as, because we have actually indicated that such as then opens this to be broader. And when it gets broad, then other debates that are going to come into play is affordability. And we're trying to actually avoid this kind of a situation where we start thinking that the resources will not be enough for Legal Aid South Africa to assist in this regard. So I wouldn't actually agree to addition of such as because of the fact that it will then... And one other thing is, in a manner in which it was discussed in the committee, it was under participation of legal services in partnerships. They talked about NGOs that they're partnering with. They even went to the extent of indicating how they intervene in the whole issue of children of South Africa by working with the Master's Office to ensure that when it comes to issues of estates that have got to be taken to court around children, they will actually intervene.
Let me assist now. I want to close this matter. You know, if we say partnership with the Chapter 9 institution, we are, that partnership would involve LASA in funding Chapter 9 institutions, and then miss the point that LASA must fund the poor who have no access to justice. Now, maybe what we should do to accommodate all of you, if we take 22.5, we say, and to support the expansion of its civil work, especially in maintenance cases, without mentioning any Chapter 9 institution, we know that the people involved in maintenance cases are women, then we will move out of this controversy about partnership with Chapter 9 institution, because all what we want is that in the case of maintenance cases, those that are involved, like the Gender Commission, should be assisted. But if you mention them, then the argument arises, what about others? So can we do that?
I support that, Honorable Chair. It then takes care of 22.4, which means we will then do the addition on 22.5. But 22.3, we still support what has been put forward by Honorable Mutapu. If you add maintenance, then it's as if we are saying only on maintenance cases, but we are talking about outcomes, investigation outcomes that are then of the Commission on Gender Equality that are taken to court that go beyond maintenance. And then have the Commission on Gender Equality.
And also,
saying that we're going to have a meeting with the to expire, so we can reserve that discussion for a little bit later. So your argument is not lost. You have not lost the position. It does the process. It's maintenance and related. The related matters will take care of the issues in 22.5.
Yeah, as long as we don't lose the idea. Yes, because one thing is that is clear is that the Commission on Gender Equality just doesn't do maintenance issues only. They will do disease estates, inheritance, and sexual harassment, you name it, equal opportunities in the labor.
Will all fall within the definition of related matters. But we elaborate that when we move forward. Honorable Pumula?
Then that means then 2.3 and 2.4 falls out.
Yeah.
And then 2.5 is added.
Yeah,
later, and related matters.
Yeah, and related matters. I just also want to add this thing, also brings us to another question. You see, what Honorable Magaki is saying is very important. The scope is wider. But the ODL maintenance act, as Honorable Hall said, there are maintenance officers who assist. But if you can get advice centers and paralegals, they would increase the capacity.
If Honorable Horn was saying, you already have maintenance officers in court. Now, if you bring on board advice centers and paralegals, that will increase the capacity of the courts to deal with maintenance matters and also increase the outreach, because the number of women that need assistance are such that with the budget of Legal Aid South Africa, you never cover them. But the advice centers and paralegals can increase that capacity. So I think we scratch point 3 and point 4 and add that we recommend that the establishment of the advice centers and recognition of paralegals increase that capacity, something like that. But we need those structures, community-based paralegal structures. Honorable Paul,
Chair, it's not often that happens, but thank you for your intervention. I think the middle road is the best road to follow here.
Can we move to 2.6?
So there's a hint
here.
Thanks, Chair. I wanted to check whether the related matters will also include the issue of land claims, because we have a problem in that direction also.
Yeah, land claims will cover the city when we...
Okay.
And actually, even the Land Claims Act itself requires legal aid.
It's just that they don't pay attention, so it's covered.
Honourable Mpumulo?
No, I was just going to suggest, if you don't mind, to actually mention the land claims. Land claims, maintenance, and related matters.
Yeah, civil work, especially
land claims, maintenance, and related matters. So that. Thank you very much.
Can you broaden the one for women? It's not about maintenance. Please broaden it. Land claim, women empowerment, and civil matters.
Which is just political language, not legal. So, you know, if you say empowerment, it's too broad. But I can assure you, when we say maintenance and related matters, some maintenance issues come from estate, the distribution of estates, and so on and so on. So it's covered, I can assure you. Now I'm speaking as a lawyer as well.
Thank you, Honorable Lawyer, but I think maintenance does not cover the mandate of the CGE. That's my point.
Maintenance and related matters. So it's a question now of interpretation. It will be covered.
My last input. If we add land, we are clear on what we are talking about. Now, if you say related when it comes to issues that impact on the lives of women in South Africa, it's not clear what you're talking about.
Women actually come from land and maintenance. So already, yeah. So I think let's leave it at related, and then we also must include here a meeting with the Legal Aid South Africa and the Land Claims Court, and also maybe at Gender Commission. We have a meeting with them and then with the Legal Aid South Africa to work out the details. Yeah, okay.
Go for that.
Yeah. If we transform and recognize the traditional courts, you know, traditional people, there's ostracization, there's public opinion. You can't live in the traditional community when you don't look after your children. These people meet every Sunday, unlike our courts where you have to wait for the date. So that's why this question of traditional courts is important. We need traditional courts. Community courts, Christine, you keep on putting it and putting it out. Community courts, traditional courts, advice centers, and paralegals. Those elements. They're the part of the transformation agenda. And then number 226. Honorable Horn.
Thank you, Chairperson. I, in principle, don't have a problem with the proposal that there, except for the inclusion of the part coming after deficit. I think non-compliance to national treasury regulations and internal audit weaknesses has indeed been identified, but the solutions, I think, is simple. You don't need National Treasury and the AG to go and tell the public protector to see to it that they have in a functioning internal audit unit and comply with National Treasury regulations. In that vein, the fact is that there has been non-compliance in respect of these issues with other institutions and entities who came to report to us as well. So if we want to use the same yardstick to all, then we should include all of them and ask National Treasury and the AG to go there. I think the sentiment expressed by the committee or formed by the committee at the time was that, yes, the public protector is faced with this accumulated deficit of 18 million, and we should ask National Treasury and the AG to go and see for themselves whether the systems are in place so that if there is a financial assistance to wipe out this deficit, that the problem will not reoccur. But I think to send National Treasury and the AG there to deal with the other two issues will be sending out a message that we're singling out the public protector for non-compliance, and they have not been the worst transgressors at all in terms of those who came to appear in front of us. Thank you.
No, thanks. Thanks, Chair. I think you, if you recall, Chair, remember when we engaged the AG around this matter, actually it was the AG who proposed that National Treasury is the one who can deal with these issues. So I think this captures exactly our deliberations in terms of what the AG gave us as an advice around the issues relating to the public protect. But what we're saying in the main chair is that we want to assist that office to have a long-lasting solution, because it would appear that there are systems that must be tightened up. So they can't tighten them up because these are the issues that have arisen in the past, and they are continuing, and they are just escalating now. So we need some sort of intervention. So I think the capturing there is fine. It just reflects exactly what we got as an advice from the AG.
Two things. On page 49, we talk. No, it's related. This is about, because we have our discussion around our observations around the public protector, and then we have our recommendations. So there needs to be congruence between the two. Okay, so here we ask for, we support the recommendations that the public protector staff would develop a financial plan to address issues like the deficit and so on, with targets and time frames. And then we talk about that the public protector office should first address the red flags raised by the Auditor General before more money gets allocated. So we just need to make sure that our recommendations are congruent with our observations. That's just my point.
You see, we had discussions, and those discussions led to 22.6. Now, we are not opening the discussion. We have reached that conclusion. Now, actually, that 22.6 should have been 22.2. So the first one is that of the plan. The plan by the public protector, what Christine is raising would be point number one. Point number two would be this one. But I think here, as Honorable Bonga is saying, as this committee, we have a responsibility to support the Office of the Public Protector. And what we recommend here is to provide the necessary support. It's not to penalize that office. We is to support that office. So I don't think, and we are not using an alien organization to assist, we are using the responsible structure, which is National Treasury. So can we leave it at that? Now, what else? Any other recommendation? So we are done with this report. Can I put the report as a whole to yourselves? Anybody who wants to propose adoption? Honorable Mutapo, and then seconded by Honorable Bonga. Any opposition to the report?
Chair, given the fact that we will only see the final form format of the or draft or version at a later stage. We reserve our rights.
Actually, there is no later stage. Christine, can you read the additional points, because that's all that is outstanding. On advice centers, community courts, traditional courts, and paralegals.
So we agreed that we'd delete 22.3 and 4. We would include under 22.5 that support the expansion of the civil work, especially land claims and maintenance and related matters. And then under 22.6, there would be about it would be recommended that the Public Protector of Africa develop a financial plan to address the deficit. And the second half would be the committee recommends that National Treasury and the Auditor General assist the Public Protector of Africa to determine the extent to which they are able to resolve the 18 million deficit. Oh, and then the last thing around the continuation of the establishment of advice centres, traditional courts and community centres, paralegals. I'll just get the wording right. Yeah. Yes, community-based advice centres and paralegals be prioritised.
And then another one.
Oh, and then maybe we should add that there should be funding made available for this as well. Should we not say that funding should be made available for?
Leave
the funding,
okay. And then lastly, can you say that the committee ages the ministry could introduce paralegal legislation and
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Noting that intervene has been amended to change to now read assist, I think we can support it. And then I think that just liabilities exceeding 10 million rand, I don't know whether it should read liabilities exceeding assets by 10 million rand or whether.
The Auditor General talked about liabilities exceeding assets without any further ado. Let's leave it to that. And thanks, Honorable Horn, for applying your mind to this matter so that we all speak with one voice.
Okay. Can we then now move on to question number 4?
Indicate if there are any corrections to be made. Honorable Mayor.
There is a point where it says the committee is pleased to learn that the proposal to establish 9 regions that mirror South Africa's province.
Sorry, before I forget, the CEO of the Office of the Public Protector promised to send us a document. Has that been received? The document from the CEO of the Office of Public Protector, has that been received?
It was circulated.
Circulated?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that document will assist the Office of the Auditor General and the Treasury. So it must be forwarded to those two institutions. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks, sir. Yes, I was on 11.3.1. On the establishment of 9 regions that mirror South Africa's provinces, that the issue was receiving the attention of the minister. I was suggesting that the committee should also urge the department to investigate the possibility of the devolution of powers to the provinces.
What?
To investigate the devolution of powers to provinces and also check the implication that will have on accountability.
Why shouldn't you say the desirability or otherwise of the devolution of powers and their implications?
And on 11.4.2, coupled with 11.4.1 on human resource management, indication here is that the appointment of staff in correctional services is done in accordance with 2 legislations. Through the Correctional Services Act and also through the Public Service Act. So I was recommending that maybe the committee should recommend that the Public Service Commission should review the appointment of staff in correctional services, so that if possible one kind of legislation should be used, because this has a bearing on how work is performed in correctional services. There are officials who are not allowed to perform certain functions because they are appointed through a particular kind of legislation.
Right, but we are the lawmakers. Who are we recommending to? Why shouldn't we say the committee should consider the harmonization of these 2 systems of appointment and also call for a meeting with the Public Service Commission and the department to consider that matter? Because if the law has to be changed, it's ourselves who will change that law. But otherwise, your proposal is very sound. Okay.
And if I were to continue, Chair, on 11.8.3 on the issue of rehabilitation and reintegration. As the committee has observed, that these programs on rehabilitation and reintegration are not receiving much attention, as it is exemplified by how we budget. I was saying, Chair, that we should consider broadening the concept of halfway houses for the reintegration of ex-convicts as a way to ensure that we also put more emphasis on rehabilitation and reintegration as necessary programs for the department. And last question, on the issue of IT,
Rehabilitation includes skill development of the inmates. And if you skill them, those then pose the risk of escaping can already be given what to do. The example here is farming. You teach them about farming, and government owns farms. You deploy them in the government farms to do work. Others are crafters, artisans. You give them opportunities to do artisan work while they are in prison. And when they are out, you have their halfway houses. Those that are not fully rehabilitated, you use the halfway houses for that purpose, to address problems of drug addiction, alcohol addiction. But also, that's where you can bring professionals, social workers, criminologists, psychologists, to work on these people. So I'm just saying that we need to have a two-pronged strategy to deal with rehabilitation and social integration. Actually, we should link rehabilitation and social integration. You rehabilitate them and integrate them into society to prevent recidivism.
Still on that chair, I was saying the observation here is that the way we are budgeting, we are moving in a direction where we are making prisons to become more of a fortresses that will prevent inmates to escape, rather than concentrating on rehabilitation and reintegration. And I agree with you that's why I'm saying the issue of halfway houses, that concept needs to be expanded so that it can also cater for the reintegration of ex-convicts into the society.
Actually, there is already a budget for halfway houses. I know that in Gauteng they budgeted for 10, which have not been established, apparently because they don't have capacity. But we have organizations like NICRO, which appeared before us. You have NICSA, the National Interfaith Council of South Africa. If those departments, organizations have footprints in all the provinces, and if the department could partner with them, that would help them to implement these halfway houses. But I think we need to urge them to do that, those partnerships, and implement these structures as soon as possible. Honorable Mpumulwana.
I think what you have said, Jefferson has said earlier regarding the youth, the training, could be different, could be couched differently from, to be separated from the halfway house thing. Because one, they used to be farms. The prisoners used to produce things which actually assist even in the budget. That is no more happening. I think we should emphasize on that one as a separate issue, that the people should be trained, the prisoners should be trained and given skills and like farming, like furniture manufacturer and all others, as a separate thing from what you are talking about, that is now putting psychological, but put it separately as a separate issue.
I think these correctional centers must be made to be self-reliant. They must produce their own food. they need 3 meals a day, which is not available in communities. So why don't we make them self-reliant so that they can produce that food themselves? And also, if they produce furniture and more food, they can supply hospitals and schools. So why should there be a burden on state or on the state? I think we must specify that. You know, Minister Ndebele used to say that these institutions must be turned into centers of excellence. So the people there must be skilled, they must be productive, they must be self-reliant. And I think we must monitor that progress, because that in itself would contribute to rehabilitation of these people. Honorable Tumla?
Yes, there is a mistake that people make. Well, I'm not sure whether it's a mistake, but that the inmates who don't want to work are not forced to work, that they do it voluntarily. Now, my argument has always been that when they are put in correctional services, they are there to be corrected. So they cannot have a choice of not being corrected. And to work and to be involved in such projects is part of correction. So it should be compulsory that they be corrected in that manner. Thank you very much.
That should be the position. Otherwise, if they are voluntary, then you are not doing your work of correcting them. So it has to be. Honorable Hort.
Thank you, Chair. Just two things. First of all, while I agree with the sentiment expressed by the Honorable Mahila regarding the fact that we should have regional offices in each of the provinces, I just think we should refrain from using the words devolution of power, because that phrase in itself talks to a centralization of power that needs to be ended. And as a matter of fact, I think the problem here rather is the fact that correctional services regional structures are not aligned to the provincial boundaries. So that's just a suggestion that we should be careful in the way we phrase it. Then secondly, Chair, I would appreciate it, I think, if we can add something in respect of our recommendations. I see the heading there is budgetary adjustments, which we must maybe just change to observations and recommendations. But I think from what we have discussed and what we have learned, one of the other things we must include is a comment on the failure of correctional services to really spend on their capital budget in respect of additional bed space, because that has been a recurring problem now over a few years, and though we have the undertaking by the minister that the deputy minister will personally also attend to this going forward, I think it's one of the observations we should make, that this is a worrying trend, specifically given also the overcrowding of correctional facilities. Thank you.
We must have observations and recommendations as the heading, and also an observation on failure to spend and the recommendation that that should be addressed. But with regard to what you said on proposals of Honorable Mahila, you see, the situation we have now is that the powers have been devolved from the National Commissioner to the provincial commissioner, and now that lack of alignment and accountability makes it difficult for the national commissioner to make reports to us, because if he doesn't get, because of that autonomy there, he doesn't get information or he gets incredible information. So we have to look at that area, so it will be covered when we deal with desirability or otherwise of the devolution. Will address those issues. But I think, I'm not sure why we talk about regional offices. I thought it is provincial. They are provincial, not regional. So the alignment that we are talking about will also be addressed under that thing. So,
then the next one, the last thing,
on IT.
given the fact that yes, the officials agreed with us that you see, the president said that there is a problem of the majority of the people, inmates, being young people. And these young people need character building, which is not obtaining in our communities. And that turns them into social ills. They end up in prison. They learn more criminal skills. They come out. Life in prison is nicer, and they are attracted to go back. That actually you need something like a holistic human reconstruction and development program. And the department promised to give us that report a long time ago. Because to fight crime now, we need to build the character of young people from an early stage, especially those who are already caught up in crime. So we need a program for them to address that. Because we can't talk about rehabilitation in the vacuum. So if our drafters can just draft that part on human reconstruction and development as a program to address character building and avoidance of recidivism. Honorable Mpumlwana.
Yes, sir. I would think that what you are suggesting fits in very well with the question of rehabilitation. And doing some produce some products and so on as part of rehabilitation. But what I think Nadia Maila is talking about is talking about security when he talks about IT, that there should be cameras in the cells so that we are able to monitor, because the problem we're having now, if you are put in a cell, you are exposed to these people who may do anything to you, and there's nothing that protects you because you are in prison, you are in a cell together with people, with criminals, and yet it, that is not being monitored. So I think the emphasis is to put in some cameras in each and every cell so that the department is aware of what's going on and to stop such a mission.
Yeah, no, but you said exactly what I wanted to say in a different way. But the emphasis was on security. So we need tight
security, but we need dedicated program to build the character of this youth,
right,
and also to make them productive citizens by skilling them and making these correctional centers self-reliant. We can't be spending on people who can feed themselves and even feed us.
Okay, any other thing? I think we
should agree that we have made the amendment. The rest is really formulation by experts. So we are in a position to consider the adoption of the report. Anybody who wants to propose the adoption? Honorable Bonga, seconded by Honorable Maila, thirded by Honorable Mpumulwana. Any opposition? What is the position of the DA?
No, I think this is a fair reflection of what the deliberations was. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable members, our two reports have been adopted, and just make sure that the language is appropriate. And essentially, it brings us to the end. Can you come here?
Members, the meeting is adjourned, and have a nice day and enjoy your caucuses.